League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Larking them this summer, playing with the big boys in Russia, means nothing. It's out with the old and in with the new, but a vaguely familiar air, and that's just us. Welcome to the Totally Football League Show. I'm Caroline Barker, open brackets leave suitable pause for the departed Ian McIntosh and Matthew Stanger. But no trial list for us, weighing in at 63 out of the 72. Samuel, or is it Sam, or is it Sammy Parkin?
Just a Sam, Caroline.
Is it?
No middle name.
Oh, what, no Parkin either?
There's a Parkin at the end of it.
He's
yeah,
the
no
Pele of the Football League. He just wants Sam on his back. You can have it. I'll give it to you. It's a lot cheaper when I'm getting a shirt printed. Backing him up, he's played at every level. Not always successfully. Adrian Clark's here.
Put me on the back foot right from the start. I like it, though.
What
I
was
like
your it. Most successful level?
What was my most...
Apart from those 30 minutes at Arsenal that you've used your whole career.
I'm still dining out the 9 first-team games for Arsenal. Yeah, I enjoyed my time at Southend probably the most, even though it wasn't the most successful on the pitch. I must say, I'm here under duress. Former flatmate of Ian McIntosh. He has got... some tales on me.
Does
and,
he?
And that's the reason I'm here today. Is basically forced me to be here. Well, but I'm going to make the best of it.
I'm feeling fortunate that you want to be here. I mean, I'm taking that as a want to be here.
I'm joking.
That's 9 more games than I got at Chelsea, Adrian.
Yeah, I'll take it. Look, I've dined out on it. It's my entire life. And
welcome to the Totally Football League Show. unless Chelsea or Arsenal have been relegated, we'll shut them up just for a bit. You can be part of it too at the Totally Show. Joe Crilly's also here.
Hello.
Exciting.
Is that all I'm allowed to say today?
Yes.
yeah, very excited.
Good.
We've got the rubbish football out of the way, now back to the good stuff.
Yeah. Are you prepared to give us odds that won't change anything?
Yes.
That's about all you need to do. Let's get on with it then. It's been a summer of moves, not just with us and our manoeuvres, Sam. It's money coming in, out, money stopping, managers coming in, out, players coming in, out. Have you enjoyed this summer more than most when it comes to the Football League?
Of course, yeah. I mean, it's very difficult to predict how the teams are going to go.
Don't say that, because this is a preview prediction show.
Well, it is. You know, you always miss one or two incomings, and that seems to be the way the last couple of days. Keeping across all the transfers has been quite difficult this year. There's been a lot of movement and obviously a lot of turbulence at some of the big clubs of the Championship that I'm sure we're going to talk about in great detail in a moment.
Great detail. That's the operative phrase there.
Don't worry about that. Tell me about that.
Well, let's go with the clubs that you'll know, being former Premier Leaguers yourselves, as you've just established. Stoke, West Brom, Swansea, welcome back to the Championship. I mean, you're going to love it, aren't you, those three clubs?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Stoke are coming in with real ambition, aren't they? In terms of their loss to the Premier League, I don't think it's that great. They were quite boring, weren't they, towards the end there. And I don't think the Premier League is particularly... sad to see the back of those three clubs. But no, interesting times, because Stoke have reinvented themselves, I guess, under Gary Rowett. Swansea with Graham Potter. Really excited to see what happens there. I mean, haven't given him any money yet, really, and nothing to speak of to play with. But he impressed me with Ostersunds. And Darren Moore at West Bromwich Albion did great, didn't he, towards the end of last season. Big question mark now is, can he deliver over the course of a full season? And can he... form a team that's a little bit more adventurous, because he was brilliant, wasn't he, organising West Brom and making them much tougher to beat towards the end of last season, but need more than that, won't they, in the EFL?
Yeah, I saw them very late on last season and he did brilliantly to galvanise the place, Darren Moore, but no, I completely concur. I think they're going to need a little bit more, and a lot of speculation about Rondon and Rodriguez. I think the top end of the pitch for them is going to be problematic, getting a great goalkeeper in Johnson, who starred at Aston Villa last year, so... looking good in that regard, but I think top end of the pitch for them. Stoke, I think, with the the riches that they've been able to keep hold of and add to. Afobe going to get your goals at that level. Joe Allen signing a new contract, I think that could be huge for them. I think they're going to be the bookies' favourite. They probably are the bookies' favourites. Joe Crilly will come on to that. But certainly Stoke look better placed than the other two. And Swansea, back to that expansive way that they've gone away from, probably that was built years ago under Brendan Rodgers and Martinez. And I think, you know, reading between the lines and reading some articles, I think Graham Potter was fancied for that job a few years ago. I think there's been a link there. I think it's Graham Jones, Martinez's old assistant. They played together. So I think he's been earmarked for that role. Obviously had to go overseas to forge a career in coaching. He looks the type of manager who can get him back playing the right type of football for the Swansea support. But I think it may be a year of consolidation for them because of they're a little bit light in a few areas.
We are going to try and be as tight as we possibly can and rattle through all three leagues. But Stoke, that you mentioned, out those three teams for me are the ones that did it all early, have been kind of the calmest and maybe dealt with relegation possibly out of those three in the best way. But they do go to Leeds. Who wants to stand up and applaud Leeds for their managerial appointment? And who wants to say this one could be an early marker to the season?
It's so exciting, isn't it? If I'm a Leeds fan, I'm buzzing at the moment. I really am, because Bielsa, you don't know what's going to happen. It could be just a thrill a minute from beginning to end. The thing is, we know about his background, the style of football, the pressing, the fluid forward play. We also know he's combustible, so if it goes wrong, everything could collapse.
I mean, no karma club to walk into.
Exactly. But the bottom line is he actually has some good players to work with at Leeds. I was really impressed with them at the start of last season, as we all were, I'm sure. They did tail off. But if he can get them going in the mould that he likes to get his teams playing football, then Leeds are going to be the best team to watch in the Championship this season. And I think, I'm going to confidently state that I think it's going to go well. It could go both ways, but I believe they're going to be in the top six for sure this season. They've got a lot of talent, and I like the players he's brought in too.
I wouldn't argue with that. Could be a car crash. Can't wait to see what happens. I think there's going to be players that are going to be wanting to go and play for him. There's a Chelsea link there. I think Lewis Baker, Blackman going there, probably speaking to some of the chaps at Chelsea and realising, you know, what a reputation this guy's got in coaching and wanting to go there and further their careers. And Douglas, I think, coming in the last couple of days. I mean, what an incredible signing that is. We probably sat in this room last season and spoke so highly about this player. I can only think that at Wolves, he maybe wants someone a little bit younger, a little bit quicker. But for that level, Championship, he showed last year, in terms of his numbers, assists and goals with that left foot, I think he was superb.
Sweet left foot, wasn't it? What about Bamford, though? Is it because he's the striker they've been linked with. Is he good enough? Because they desperately need a front man to score the goals. I don't know. He's not been amazing, has he, the last couple of years?
That's the one thing, Adrian. Since they lost Chris Wood, the start of last season, you were looking to see who was going to step up to the plate. Kemar Roof played up there. Lasoga, I think, did okay at times. But yeah, that is huge for Leeds. And I'm not sure Bamford was great, you know, at times last year for Middlesbrough. I'm not sure he's the focal point that you're going to need to get promoted in the Championship.
Let's insert a, what about Bamford? What about Bamford? Just in case. I mean, it happens. That's the fact that we've got this earlier transfer window shut in, that things, have you done your business early where it could help you, and other such cliches between Leeds, Stoke. That's the Sunday one. Monday all finishes up with Hull, Aston Villa. We're going to talk Villa in a minute because they are one of those interesting manager behind the scenes players. What's happening? Could win it, could go down, whatever might happen with Aston Villa. But the weekend kicks off with Reading Derby. Sir Frank Lampard, as he might become. I was expecting, Sam, with Derby that maybe they wouldn't do a lot of business, that maybe they were going to try and keep things a bit quiet. But he's done a fair job bringing people in.
He has, and he's gone youthful, you know, Mason Mount, a player I've seen a lot of, didn't see him a great deal at Arnhem last year, but again, the numbers, I think, in double figures for goals and assists, incredible player, and someone who I worried about a little bit physically. It's quite slight, but really came on in the last year, 18 months, can go beyond people now. Looks like he's filled out, and he's going to be a really exciting one to watch next year. Harry Wilson, likewise, did brilliantly at Hull last year. And just on this first game, of course, Paul Clement in the opposite dugout. Paul Clement worked with Jody Morris, worked with Frank Lampard when he was Carlo Ancelotti's assistant. And I believe the first team assistant, a friend of mine, Chris Jones, and Paul Clement are big mates as well. So it's going to be amazing. You know, those guys coming up against each other for the first time in the Championship. It's got everything to be a really good opening to the season. I think Derby, like Clarkie just said on Bielsa, I think Derby are going to go well. I'd put them, I wouldn't say automatic, but I fancy them for the playoffs, certainly. It's just getting that balance right at the top end of the pitch. They've still got a lot of the old campaigners from last year, your Nugents, your Jeromes. It's how they start the season, I think, for them.
Getting that blend right.
Yeah, they're injecting a bit more pace, aren't they? A bit more youthful enthusiasm. They've got hungry young players. I'm liking Lampard's faith in youth. And I like the signing of Florian Josephson as well from Brentford. Every time I saw him last year, he was terrific. Really, really exciting player. So they'll be better to watch. They were a bit one-paced, I thought, last year. Really organised. 4-2-3-1. Had talent. Experience of plenty, but they didn't have much of a gear change, Derby, and I think that's what held them back. So under Lampard, I think they're going to be probably better to watch. The big question is, can he organise the team? Probably like an experienced manager can. You'd imagine he will, but none of us knows, and not even Frank knows. That's the situation at the moment. Frank thinks he can be a good manager. But until he's out there in the dugout making those big decisions in the heat at the moment, he won't know. It's really exciting.
4-3-3, they've kind of gone in pre-season. The fans seem relatively happy with what they've seen so far. Reading Derby opens up the EFL. It all concludes, though, with Hull Aston Villa on Monday.
You're listening to the Totally Football League Show in association with William Hill. For all the latest odds in the footballing world, check out williamhill.com or download the app. And if you don't spot something you fancy, why not tweet at William Hill using the hashtag YourOdds for your very own personalised bet. 18 plus only, begambleaware.org, and when the fun stops, stop.
Don't take my word on this being the only way to finish the weekend. Let's bring in a Villa view. That, again, is a really clumsy link to Dan Bardell from the aforementioned podcast. Hiya, Dan.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm all right. You've had a quiet summer then.
So far, but I think it might be all about to take off.
See, I'm taking the mickey there, because you've had your manager, isn't he? Thierry Henry's coming in. This new ownership, sort of money being poured in as well. For those that don't know, I don't know where they've been. Give us a couple of 10 seconds then on what this summer's been like.
Pretty traumatic. I mean, obviously we lost the playoff final, which was bad enough to take, and then everything that happened after it somehow ended up feeling worse than the playoff final. But I think we're finally in a good place now. Obviously, Bruce has been backed by the new owners that are coming in, so I think we can now properly start to think about the new season, because it has been a traumatic summer.
Was that the right decision to back him, do you think?
I think it was the sensible one. I think it would have been easy for the new owners to come in and try and stamp their authority and make a big, brash appointment like Henry. But I think that these are quite considered guys that are coming in, that have been around the block, and they've got some experience. And I understand they never even spoke to any other managers, and that Bruce is one of the things that attracted them to the club, the stability of Bruce. I think with it being so close to the start of the season, I think that was the sensible call to keep Bruce, but obviously it hasn't pleased all Villa fans.
With new ownership, though, comes extra pressure, doesn't it, for Steve Bruce? How long do you give it if things aren't working out brilliantly for Bruce in the opening stages of this campaign? Because Thierry Henry, that link will not go away. And if they were to make a change early on in the campaign and bring in Thierry Henry, how would that go down at Villa Park?
I really don't know. I mean, to be honest, the fan base is completely split 50-50. I would say you've got those that are adamant that Bruce is the right guy, and you've got those, obviously, that looking at last season and thinking that we underachieved. And to be honest, I think that squad was good enough to go up, and it should have gone up, but to get so close in the playoffs and not go up, I think you can't say that we had a bad season, because obviously we finished fourth and I think we won 25 games of football. But we've got a relatively kind fixture list, and I know the Championship's tough, but the start of the season isn't as bad as it perhaps could have been. So I think Bruce has got the chance to hit the ground running, but I think we're sure at the moment. We've lost a few players. I still think you'll see 4 or 5 players incoming. When that happens, we'll know more about where Villa are at.
Dan, with the financial situation and FFP, etc., still hanging over the club, is there still a concern that you may have to lose some players, Grealish or a Chester, before some incomings are seen at Villa Park?
I mean, I wish I had a full understanding of financial fair play, to be honest, but I think that Steve Bruce has come out and said that none of the star players are for sale. I mean, Chester and Grealish are irreplaceable, especially at a Championship level. Chester's one of the best centre-halves in that league. He was our player of the season last season. By all accounts, it looks like he's definitely staying, and I think he wants to stay. The trouble is, if someone comes in last minute with silly money, for Grealish. I think with the financial fair play situation, we probably wouldn't be in a position to turn that down, because one thing I do know about financial fair play is that if the players come through the academy, but the whole transfer fee goes towards rectifying financial fair play. But Spurs haven't come up with the money so far. They're the ones that have been majorly linked with him. But I know they did it with Sissoko, didn't they, where they waited till the last minute. And I think they probably ended up paying more than they wanted to bring Sissoko in. So there's a chance that could happen. But Jack's irreplaceable, and he's the heartbeat of the side. So if we lose him, I would suggest that promotion would be a big ask this season.
Yeah, for me, that's where your swing is all on Grealish. Have you had a look at it? What would be acceptable for you then as a fan this season, and all that you're doing with the club? Where should the team finish?
I mean, I've said it on our podcast. Any season where we don't go up is going to be perceived as a bad season. As I said, we finished fourth last season, and that's perceived as a bad season by most. But the longer you stay down in the Championship, the harder it gets. I mean, I said yesterday on our podcast that I think I make West Brom the favourites just because they haven't really lost anyone. And I mean, that doesn't sit well with me at all, having to say that. If we get in the incomings that I think are going to come, I think we're capable of top six, but it's replacing those people in the dressing room and on the pitch that we've lost, like Snodgrass and John Terry. Their big miss is not there at the moment. We're very short on centre-backs. But if we address our deficiencies, I think we can have a go at top six again. But anything other than top six, I don't think a lot of fans will find acceptable.
Dan, thanks for coming on. If people, and why wouldn't they want to listen to you? How can they find out more?
Yeah, I'm just part of the fan channel, The Villa View. So we do a podcast once a week. It's on YouTube, iTunes and SoundCloud. And we do various other videos through the week as well. We do fan cams after games. So yeah, we're The Villa View on YouTube. And we just try and give the fans a voice, really, a voice for the football club.
Brilliant it is too. Dan, thanks for coming on.
No problem. Have a good day.
You too. Dan Bardell from The Villa View. As Dan was saying, that's how you can find them. Just give it a Google and you'll find all things Aston Villa on there. I've got that swing with Villa all dependent on Grealish, Sam. Mm. If he stays, I think they could sneak into the playoffs. If he goes, I think they're 9th, 10th.
Yeah, I completely concur. I think he was amazing last year. And I think a point that needs to be raised now is Steve Bruce did get the best out of Jack Grealish, where some managers have struggled in the past. I think Sherwood did a good job with him for a spell. So that's a positive in the Steve Bruce corner, if you like. I think they'll be okay this year. I think it'll be difficult, given everything that's gone on, for them to really threaten the playoffs again. But I agree with Dan and Adrian just spoke about it a little bit there. It would have been a bit of a vanity appointment. It would have been a hell of a risk, I think, to bring in Thierry Henry. But everything that's going on at the moment, to take that decision would have been crazy. But you just hope that they haven't done it to appease probably people like me and you, and to just stop them getting probably a load of abuse, which probably would have gone the way of the new Aston Villa owners. And maybe if Steve Bruce doesn't start particularly well, it's something they may do, you know, in January.
Football owners listening to fans.
He's got to start well, he really has. On Jack Grealish, I'm going to disagree a little bit here. I don't think he is irreplaceable. Obviously, he's a talisman for them. He was excellent last year, but he didn't score that many goals. He's not produced a stream of assists.
He
makes them tick. He's a lovely player to watch. I love the way he travels with the ball. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Jack Grealish is a bad player, but there is talent out there in the lower leagues, in the Championship, at Premier League clubs that if they're smart with their recruitment, Aston Villa, they could use the money they would get for a Jack Grealish and find a player just as good, in my opinion. I don't believe Villa's season is a write-off if they lose Grealish.
Less than 20 minutes in and we're arguing. It happened when he walked through the door. Adrian Clark and Sam Parkin talking all things Totally Football League. You can be part of it too at The Totally Show. Joe Crilly from William Hill has been taking in the workings out of both our guests. I say guests, you are here every week. Well done, you. And you, Joe. Who are the favourites then to win it? Let's go positive first.
Well, Sam was nailed on. Stoker, miles ahead of the rest of the pack. They're 11-2, almost half the price of the next favourites, who are Middlesbrough and West Brom to win the league. There was a bit of chat about Leeds, and it could go either way, in my opinion, as well. They're 11-1, fifth favourites behind Nottingham Forest at 10-1.
Are Brentford in there anyway?
They're 16-1 to win it. I think the promotion market's probably the one that you want to be looking at, because it's so close, and why wouldn't it be with so many good teams in the division? Brentford are 4-1 to get promoted, and Derby, we actually pushed their price out when Frank Lampard was appointed as manager. They were about 4-1 to get promoted. We pushed them out to about 6-1 when he was appointed, but they're now into 7-2 after a couple of shrewd signings.
After listening to the podcast, is correct answer. What about the other end of the table then?
Sadly, Bolton Wanderers are favourites to go down, despite signing their first player for money in over 3 years on Monday. They are 11-10, so just a shade above evens for relegation. Rotherham, again, just a shade above evens at 5-4, and Ipswich complete the top three in the market at 5-2.
Producer Abby, tell Joe what I've written next to Bolton. Can you read that?
Relegated.
Yeah. It must be true. Not yet. I mean, you've got a whole season to go, so enjoy it.
Well, I'm going to the West Brom game this weekend.
Yeah,
I don't think I'll be enjoying that.
Let's just look at a couple of fixtures before we go into League One. What stands out for you both this weekend? West Brom up against... having asked you the question, I'm not going to tell you what I think. West Brom up against Bolton. Again, another of those where I think Bolton will struggle in this and West Brom will do the old flexing their credentials for looking well. You can pick another.
No, I think it's going to be difficult for Bolton this year, although they got Ostermer in from Walsall, who's obviously thrilled us, I think, on this show with his wonderful goal. So it's just who he's going to be supplying, really, I think, for Bolton. I'm not thrilled for Joe with the signing of McGuinness, but you'll get 100% effort from him, Joe, but I'm not sure you'll get the goal return. And West Brom, I think, a little bit of an unknown quantity at the moment, given what I've already said about the strikers. So, yeah, that looks like a good fixture. I think Bristol City, Nottingham Forest, for me, to see if Bristol City can maintain the form of the last few years. Mo Issa, a player who has been linked with a lot of big clubs in the Championship. He's gone from Gary Johnson to Lee Johnson. And I think he could be a star. That's all I'm saying.
Sunday lunch, my son.
It's nice he's got a head start. He'll be able to make the boy tick.
Is he the new Bobby Reid? That's the big question, I guess.
I think he has got the potential to be a very, very good player, Mo Issa. I liked him. I saw him the early part of last season against West Ham in a Carabao Cup, and he was excellent for Cheltenham. Got, I think, 25 goals. Mm. So it's going to be just interesting to see if Bristol City can maintain this form of the last few years. But you wouldn't bet against it. And obviously Forest are, you know, for all intents and purposes, maybe the new Wolves of this year. And interestingly, these three Portuguese players that they've got in look like they're going to go straight into the team behind a central striker who looks likely to be Lewis Grabban, who will be amongst the top goal scorers again this season, like he seems to do every year. So I think a real feel-good around Nottingham Forest for once after everything the last few years. They are really feeling optimistic about this year, and I think that stands out for me the first weekend.
Yeah. I think he's left you Wigan Sheffield Wednesday.
I think he might have done, mighty. I fear for Sheffield Wednesday. This season, we're going to find out how good a coach Josh Luhaki is, for me to say, how good a coach he is. He wasn't left a great deal last year, lots of injury problems. He's had time now to work with a group of players. He hasn't really signed anyone of note.
I've got them at the bottom of my playoff picture here, so we can have an argument about that.
Well, let's see how they go. I mean, he came with a bigger reputation.
18th.
Yeah, I don't fancy it. I really don't. Wigan, on the other hand, not many people are tipping them up for top half, and I understand that because they've come up from League One, but I saw an awful lot of them last year in League One, and they really, really impressed me. I think 27 clean sheets, good centre-half pairing. Nick Powell having a bit of a resurgence last year. They've got a very good goalkeeper in Christian Walton. So I think Wigan, under Paul Cook, will surprise a few because they're very comfortable in the way that he wants them to play. And I think a little bit like Brentford, in that their manager has the philosophy, plays the same every week in terms of the style. Everyone's really, really comfortable and au fait with it. I think they'll do all right.
Go on.
Just a point on Wigan. I think the last time they went up, they made wholesale changes to the Championship. They've got a good team, a good structure to the team. Partnerships, I said it a lot last year, throughout the side, Grigg and Powell being the obvious two. I think they'll be fine as well with just a few little additions. I think they could have a good season.
Thank God I was never either of your managers. Not that I would have been anyway. But you two to control at the Totally Show if you agree. Disagree would be better. Talking of disagreements, how many are we going to get in League One when you've got Joey Barton, Nathan Jones, Carl Robinson, anyone else you want to throw into there that likes a good old dust up or a shake of hands? League One coming up.
On Spotify, smart speaker and podcast platforms everywhere, this is the Totally Football League Show from Muddy Knees Media.
League One. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, you never quite know what's going to happen, do you? But it's really, really exciting. I mean, Jerry Barton, let's start with him, shall we? It's an exciting acquisition for Fleetwood Town. Got to know Joey a little bit last season, doing various bits on the radio with him. And he surprised me. I thought I would hate him. And I didn't hate him. I actually, dare I say, I grew to quite like him, even though he disagreed with most things I said. And I said to him during the course of our conversations last year, I said, look, because he kept talking about, I want to be a manager. And I said, look, I think you've got the football intelligence, you've got the experience clearly, you've got the determination. I said, my one issue I've got with you is the way you deal with people. You can be nasty. You can say some horrible, horrible things, Joey, when you're pushed against the wall. So when things go wrong, when you're a manager, how will you deal with it? Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry. I'll be fine. We're about to find out, aren't we? Because they're not going to win every week, Fleetwood Town. And when things start to go pear-shaped, that is when we'll find out how Joey's personality will help him or hinder him in the dugout.
Well, it has already become Joey Barton versus Wimbledon, hasn't it? You know, it's not Fleetwood against Wimbledon. He has almost taken over the name of the club already. And opening up against Wimbledon on Saturday in League One, it's kind of an odd test for me because they're a team that I don't want to say are going to struggle this season, Wimbledon, but I fear for them. And Fleetwood, in essence, have got the money. They're hoping to maybe get the structure around him. He's at least been given the stuff to work with.
Yeah, I think he's got a decent squad together up there. I think he's made some really interesting signings. Holt down from Rangers and Chad Evans, obviously, as well. I think they've been playing good football by all accounts in the pre-season. He'll want to get the ball down and pass it through the thirds, you would imagine. Seems to be a bright thinker, like Adrian just spoke about. So it's going to be a bit of a contrast in styles because Wimbledon brought Hansen in, maybe to replicate what they did with Akinfenwa and Tom Elliott in more recent times. So I think it could be a struggle for AFC Wimbledon this year. You hope that Neil Ardley's going to be the man to lead them into the new stadium when it eventually comes, and you hope they can stay in League One. But I just think they've been punching above their weight somewhat the last few years. So, no, it's going to be a really interesting game. All eyes probably on Joey Barton, like we've just spoken about. So you wouldn't bet against AFC Wimbledon ruining the party and doing what they do year after year.
I mean, some said you weren't as witty as you are in real life, but you are quite witty. I enjoyed that. So if we got Joey Barton's Fleetwood up against Wimbledon, great photos actually of their new ground coming on that Eric Samuelson's been posting up. If we've got them then, out of the other managers that could dust it up, shall I give you Peterborough against Bristol Rovers? Anyone want to take that one?
Yeah, my old mate Steve Evans. Yeah, he once tried to get me sent off. Screaming and shouting from the touchline. Yeah, I've never really forgiven him, although I did meet him on the radio not that long ago and I made no reference to it. I just pretended that it never happened. But yeah, Steve Evans, I think he's under a bit of pressure here, actually. Comes with a big reputation. Peterborough will be among the favourites. I'm sure we'll find that out shortly. But they've lost so many good players over the course of this transfer window. Yes,
that's always the way, though, with Peterborough, isn't it?
They love a sale, don't they? They love to turn a profit, and they're brilliant at it. But you do look at the quality that they've lost, particularly in forward areas, and you think, have they made up for it with the acquisitions that they've brought in? So I would put a big question mark against Peterborough, actually, this year, even though they're traditionally one of the powerhouses in League One.
Yeah, I expected Steve Evans to go in there and get them in the playoffs last year, and it didn't happen. They tailed off like quite a few teams, Phil Brown into Swindon, and also David Flitcroft to Mansfield, the tier below. So I kind of agree. So many good players going on. Edwards to Ipswich, obviously Marriott to Derby, and waiting to see what happens with Madison. So I'm not sure that they've replicated it with the same quality. So a bit of a question mark for them. I think they'll be in and around the playoffs, but I think there's stronger teams, and two of them that I'd pick out straight away would be Portsmouth and Luton, who meet on the opening day. I think Luton showed last year the amount of goals they've got in the side, the way they play, the enthusiasm of the manager. Haven't lost anyone. Luke Berry's coming back to fitness. He'd be like a new signing. And the signings they have made, Grant, that was on loan at Notts County last year, I think he's going to be an exceptional player for Luton again this year.
So often we see teams go straight through the National League and straight through League Two. Luton finishing second, first or second this time round. I think they'll either win it or runners up.
Yeah, yeah, you're really that confident.
That's brave.
That is very bold. That is bold. It's one of those seasons that, because Luton have been expected to be promoted every year for many years now, haven't they? So this is probably the first year where the fans are not expecting it. They will be hoping for it. I used to play with Nathan Jones, good friend of mine at Southend United. I really like...
He loves a confrontation.
He always did. Yeah, he broke my nose in training, did it on purpose, didn't apologise.
How?
Yeah, it was a drop ball, but it was a drop ball with the ball thrown in the air, like a basketball tip-off, was it?
Yeah,
tip-off. And he swung his arm out and smashed my nose to pieces. Saw it. And just laughed at me and just said, you just basically cracked up, and there was no apology whatsoever. And yeah, I had to get it cracked back into place. Can you see it?
That is a fine nose.
Yeah, it's a slightly, it's a fine nose, but it's a slightly wonky
Give
nose.
Give me profile.
That's the small side. That's the big side, is it? Or I can't remember, but yeah.
Unfortunately for me, mine has never been broken. It's still this big.
But he's a very good manager. I love the style of football that the Luton play. Really fast paced. I agree. On George Grant, he really doesn't do a lot. Often in the games, he's on the periphery and then he scores. And I think he'll be a difference maker for them this year. That's a belting first game, isn't it, at Portsmouth? So watch this space. Southend are interesting, I think, this year. I think they got Doncaster on the opening day. Chris Powell, after he took over from Phil Brown, Southend were flying.
Mm.
He inherited a very good squad. Drew Yearwood, I just want to... It's always dangerous to hang your hat on a player, but I'm gonna hang my hat on Drew Yearwood. I think he's a talent that's come through the ranks at Southend. Player to watch. I think he's injured for the start of the season, but remember the name. I think he's going to be a star for them this year.
If there is another player you'd like us to hang a hat on, feel free at the Totally Show. We have almost done, 4 hours on League One, I exaggerate, and not spoken about Sunderland. Anyone?
Oh.
The positive to me, when you go and you have a look at Roker Report or Wise Men and you listen to the fans talking, they are getting the opportunity to talk to Stuart Donald. So the new owner's come in and he's doing the charm offensive well, and he is opening that line of communication that wasn't there before. So that's a big tick, right?
Yeah, that's the start. But it's not going to get you 3 points, is it, on a Saturday? But you have to do that.
Yeah.
That's important to restore morale, get the fans through the turnstiles. I think ticket sales are pretty good, actually, at Stadium of Light ahead of this
new
season.
New seats to sit on. They changed out the pink ones.
I saw that, yeah. Very nice. I mean, needed a lick of paint, didn't it? Look, who knows? Jack Ross, they got a good manager. He was Scottish Manager of the Year, wasn't he, for St Mirren? So look, it's they've swept, rang the changes. Let's watch this space. But I think I will find out shortly in terms of where they are in the bookies' odds. But I would suggest they're weak. They'll be weak favourites if that's where they are, because that losing habit is fairly ingrained, isn't it, there?
Sunderland, Charlton.
I think Sunderland incredibly difficult to call at the moment. A lot of players that Jack's going to bring down from north of the border. McGeoch's a really interesting signing. Mm. He's been exceptional for Hibs and will have the experience of playing Parkhead for Celtic and also for Hibernian, two big football clubs. So that shouldn't be too much for him to take on. A couple of other players that he's brought down, and Jack Ross, I know him a little bit in his different role. He was working for the PFA up in Scotland, went on to manage my former club, St Mirren. Outstanding, you know, when I'm talking to my former teammates, he's been a breath of fresh air at that football club that was really in the doldrums, dragged them back up from the Championship. I think incredible points return last season. So I think it's an interesting appointment, but only time will tell who he's going to bring in, how they're going to acclimatise to League One, and also if he can get the best out of these young players. They've only lost one to Swansea, so the majority of those young players that came in last year and did relatively well towards the end of the season need to have big campaigns.
I've got them promoted or relegated. Somewhere in between is not happening for Sunderland this season. Your thoughts, as always, welcome. We are trying to cram in all three leagues in a commute. Hopefully your commute's going to last just a little bit longer. So Sunderland, Joe Crilly from William Hill, either promotion or relegation?
Well, they're odds on for promotion.
Good.
You get quite a big prize for them to be relegated. I think the fans deserve something to cheer for once this season. They're 5-6 to get promoted. They're 11-4 favourites to win the league. And for relegation, they're the biggest prize alongside Barnsley at 20-1.
First sacking of the season. Oh, no, you haven't got that?
Don't have that. Joey Barton.
There is no science behind it. Everyone just say Joey Barton.
But I mean, talking about Joey Barton, we haven't really been overly impressed with his appointment, and they're in the middle of the field, really, for promotion.
So he's going to feel that you're not overly impressed.
if he's listening. They're 10-1 for relegation.
Why not so overly impressed?
I think it's the same thing with Frank Lampard. We just don't know what they'll be like, and we've already spoken about his temperament. And if things do start to go wrong, I think it'd be quite difficult to see him being able to motivate the players to do things better. A little bit like Roy Keane when he was at Ipswich. He was very abrasive, and when things started going wrong, he started to get angry that the players couldn't actually do what he used to be able to do, and they started to slide down the leagues.
Give us a best price for anything else besides in League One, then.
I quite like the look of Luton. They're 9-2 for promotion, which is quite a big price. 12-1 to win it. I don't think they'll win it, but that 9-2 is very attractive for me.
The one team we haven't mentioned, apart from all the 42 that we haven't mentioned as well, is Barnsley, who, as well as Luton going up, I've also got Barnsley winning it if Luton don't.
Yeah, so Barnsley are the second favourites to win the league. They're 8-1 ahead of Charlton and Portsmouth, who are both 12-1. And at 11-4, they look like quite good value just for the promotion.
Joe Crilly with the odds from William Hill.
You're not going to ask me about Daniel Stendel, are you?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, he's got some good players to get into his team.
And I just want to sing Mr. Stend. No.
Mr. Wendell. That's exceptional.
Thank you.
No, they'll be strong, I think, Barnsley. Two good strikers, Moore, Bradshaw, young, vibrant midfield, and good central defenders. I really liked Lindsay last year. So I think they'll be right up there. They're a team that have been able to keep hold of their main players, and I think they'll be strong.
Yeah, one team we haven't mentioned in League One are Bradford. Normally they're in amongst the favourites, yet it just didn't click for them last year. It was a bit of a mess. Various managers came in and hated it. They weren't happy under the ownership. It was a very difficult place to go and work. And what have they done? They've gone and appointed a 32-year-old rookie, haven't they? Michael Collins, former under-18s coach. What a gamble that is. That's a huge club for a 32-year-old rookie boss to take charge of. It could be brilliant. He could be the next Alex Neil, I guess, or it could go pear-shaped. So if we go back to who might be the first managers to leave their post, if that starts badly, maybe we could expect to see a change at Bradford.
Could have gone through that whole league table, actually, just by talking about the changes for managers. Mm. Some unfamiliar names, and we'll see how they come out come the end of the season. League Two next. Into League Two then on the Totally Football League Show as we look ahead to the new season. All kicks off this weekend. And for League Two, those that have gone up and experienced the new life, I think that some of those, I'm just giving you what I think first again, sorry about that, will experience perhaps heady days in League Two. But heady or headwear, again, clumsy, Mr. Tisdale, who both of you I know are well acquainted with, can he make Milton Keynes acceptable?
No, in one word, it'll go a long way to actually appeasing some people who like his get up, I suppose, in the dugout.
Were you surprised at that first off, him going to
FK? Maybe a little bit the choice of club. I wasn't surprised that he left. Of course, I think we all felt the writing was on the wall before that playoff final defeat, and they really didn't do themselves justice. So it was a sorry way for it to end, because he's been such a huge part of Exeter City for a number of years. That's going to be fascinating what happens in Devon. But yeah, I make MK strong favourites. A good squad that Robbie Nielsen had put together, but hadn't done the business for him. And obviously, change of manager, Michici coming in, didn't happen for him either. So there's still some decent footballers there. And he's recruited some lads that he knows. Jordan Moore-Taylor was the captain at Exeter. I think Paul Tisdale knows how to get the best out of Jordan, because he's got character for a young boy. He was linked with Everton many years ago. So that's a really inspired sign-in. A couple of other guys he really trusts. And a big budget that he hasn't had at Exeter. So, you know, the facilities. And
Do we know how big? I mean, I don't want to figure on it, but compared to the rest of the teams?
I don't know, but it'll be considerably bigger than what he's been trying to utilise at Exeter over the years. And I just think, you know, he's a very good coach, Paul Tisdale. And I think... You know, they're certainly going to be up in and around it.
Yeah, all I would say on that is that they were short on goals last year. He's a very attack-minded manager, isn't he, Paul Tisdale? I like the football that Exeter played, but they need to score more. And has he got the right centre-forward in place? That's all I'll say at the moment. Maybe between now and the close of the window, somebody else will come in. But yeah, he's under pressure, no doubt about it. But he's proven, Paul Tisdale, he can get teams towards the top end of the division. So I think he'll do well.
Milton Keynes head to Oldham on Saturday in their first game of the season. Then for me, and it may be this loving that comes from the Essex days and standing with them at Concord, but I can see Danny Cowley and the Cowley brothers, should they not get another distraction with a cup run, doing well again for Lincoln, and should they be able to hang on to him?
Well, they signed a new contract, didn't they, towards the end of last season, just as all the bigger clubs were circling, including Ipswich. They made their best signing of the entire season, didn't they, Lincoln, by getting those two guys to commit their futures. Yeah, they're rightly up amongst the favourites, aren't they? Because they've got a very stable squad. Everybody knows the direction they're going in. Terrific cup side. But what I will say as a slight negative is that in the playoffs last season, they really did come up short. They were extremely limited. They didn't have a gear change. They didn't have any other way of playing. And the one worry I have for them is that they might get found out unless they come up with a bit of a plan B and maybe some players that will help them play in a slightly different manner when plan A isn't working.
There is someone that I always wanted to sign at Chelmsford, but we were never going to get him, which is a Koundé that's come in from Barnet. And I think he is that sort of player that stays fit, will do well for Lincoln and could be that difference.
Amazing signing. Did his best to keep Martin Allen up last year at Barnet. And yeah, I think they've got real good options top end of the pitch. Reed, of course, such a threat in that division. And Green as well. So I think they've been playing a slightly different way in pre-season. He's been flirting with going with a back three, and they've got Eardley on the right-hand side and Harry Toffolo, a lad I know really well from Swindon on the left, who's come in. Didn't work out for him at Millwall last year. So they've got the players with the attributes to players kind of flying wingers. Maybe they're thinking along the same lines, that they just need to have a bit of a plan B. But very surprised that the wheels came off in those games against Exeter, and expect them to be, if MK Dons are going to be the best side, hot on their tails.
On the road then again, Lincoln, their first game at Northampton. Any of those other fixtures that calling out to you and you think those teams are going to be up towards the top come the end of the season?
Oh, now let's have a think about this. I think Notts County will be there or thereabouts under Kevin Nolan against Colchester United. Colchester, I think, are going to struggle, unfortunately. They've slashed the budget. They're going to have to work with really, really young boys. Now, Notts County are a strange one because every time I've seen them in the flesh, they've been rubbish. They've not turned up at all. They've looked slow, sluggish, too old. But the results showed clearly that they were pretty good for most of last season under Kevin Nolan. What he's done, he's had a bit of a cull, got rid of a load of his old mates, a load of the older players, and he's brought in some younger players, some quicker players, and I think that will reinvigorate them. You know, clearly he's a manager that's going places. You know, it was a risk for Notts County to appoint him, but yeah, I think they'll do all right. And I say that because he's recognised their shortcomings, and he's taken some difficult decisions over the summer, and I think that's quite brave.
Yeah, I mean, the other two, I already touched them a little bit earlier about the change in manager last season. Mansfield and Swindon will be, again, amongst the biggest budgets in the division, you would think. New managers that were installed halfway through last season with a full pre-season, there's going to be expectation from the supporters. And I think from the finances they've certainly put in at Mansfield, if we're looking at them, the supporters will expect them to be in and around the playoffs. But I think, like we've already spoken about, Sunderland, there's still some incomings and some outgoings to happen, I think, at both those football clubs. And it's who's going to get the goals. Mansfield Rose is a player I like. I think he's been struggling with an injury.
Yeah.
And Swindon are curtailed with an injury to Mark Richards already in pre-season. So if they can get themselves a central striker to get the goals, those two, the size of the clubs and the financial backing should be in and around it.
We've been used to clubs with relatively large budgets doing well and going straight through the leagues too. When you look at Macclesfield coming into it, and you look at Tranmere coming into it. Tranmere clearly have a decent support, and Macclesfield feel like they should be doing well, but their budget wise, we know at least from winning the national, was not great. How do you think both of those will fare?
Yeah, they're going to have a really small budget at Macclesfield, no doubt about that. Mark Yates, of course, they've had a change of manager. The manager that took them up, John Askey, has gone to Shrewsbury, hasn't he? So all change at Macclesfield. I don't think they're going to be very pretty to watch, judging by some of the players that have been brought in. They're going to boom it. which works. It's worked just fine for Lincoln
for any of those players.
Yeah, exactly. So they'll be hard to play against, but they're up against it. Macclesfield Tranmere, you'd imagine, will fare better because of the budget, because of the size of the club. But the one problem they've got is Andy Cook, the guy that scored all the goals that fired them towards a really good promotion, has gone to Walsall. So who's going to fill his boots? We'll have to watch this space, I guess. But Mickey Mellon has done a great job, hasn't he, at Tranmere? And it's just they seem much more stable now than when they went down. It's a better football club. So I think they'll be fine.
Tranmere head to Stevenage. Macclesfield are at Swindon. League two for you. Who's going to be the surprise that comes out of that? I guess having spoken a lot about Tisdale and what happens there, with Exeter, it's kind of what's the fallout for them. They face Carlisle opening game.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about Exeter. I mean, Matt Taylor's been given his first role and obviously he was a standout player for them. He's got an experienced number two, having lost everyone pretty much, along with Paul Tisdale, Matt Oakley, Mel Gwinnett, the goalkeeping coach as well, followed him to MK Don. So it's going to be really difficult to predict, I think, for Exeter. I don't think they're going to get anywhere near their finishes in the last couple of seasons. Jonathan Thwart's come in, I think, in the last few days. He's going to look to try and get them a good return of goals. But I think they're going to have to... It's not that under Paul Tisdale, it wasn't total football. And I think that's a misconception. Mm. Sometimes they go long, you know, especially when I was in the side. The fullbacks would often hit you very, very early. He looks at every game, you know, in its own merit, you know, against the opposition, who you're playing, and he'll play a certain type of way. And I think that we will more see that direct type of play this year from Exeter. I think there won't be any playing through the thirds. I think they'll go quite direct to their front players.
You might not have the flair, Sam Parkin, but you know, it's all about thinking it through. That's right, isn't it, Adrian?
I didn't have anything in the last year.
So they tell me.
Flair. Nothing.
Splinters.
What, my local team, I was brought up in Suffolk, but on the Cambridgeshire border, Cambridge United, I think they're an interesting one this year because they've sort of just been treading water a little bit in League Two for a while. Small club, but Joe Dunn came in and they did improve. They were better to watch. They scored loads more goals. And Barry Corey, I saw a lot of Southend, still there. If they keep him fit, he'll bang in some goals. So I think Cambridge could be one to watch. And Stevenage have made a few good signings. I've played for them, of course. And Dino Marmory is doing a good job there. Michael Timlin, interesting signing, coming from Southend. I'm not upset that Southend have lost him or let him go, but I think he is a really, really good player at that level and that he will hold that midfield together. I don't know if you come across Michael in your time, but he's a good box-to-box, strong central midfield, and I think he could make a difference for Stevenage this year.
I have noticed that I have blown it all and told you who's going up and a few of who's going down, and you've kind of avoided it through all three leagues, but I'll let you have one game in, and then this time next week you are telling me everything. At the Totally Show for your thoughts on not only what you've just heard, what you'd like to hear too. We were hearing from Dan Bardell from Villaview earlier on. Hopefully every week we're going to hear from another club too. Something you want to hear, get in touch at the Totally Show. Joe Crilly, having said and poured my heart out that I think Lincoln will do it, am I wide of the mark?
No, not at all.
Good.
They're third favourites to go up.
No, just end it there, that's fine.
They're third favourites to win the league, third favourites to go up, alongside Mansfield. They're both 9-4. MK Dons and Notts County both 7-4. So Lincoln very much in and around the promotion conversation.
Who's the one at the end of the season that we're going to sit up and go, oh, I didn't expect that?
I'm going to stick my neck out here. And I think that after the end of the season that they had last season, Grimsby will finish higher than mid-table and push on towards the playoffs.
Is that actually sticking your neck out?
Yeah, they're...
So Grimsby will finish in the top half of the table.
If you fancy them for promotion, which is highly unlikely.
Oh.
Grimsby, 8-1.
Grimsby, Forest Green. So I think they might get 3 points. It's harsh on Forest Green, but I think Grimsby might win that first one. They know each other of old.
Yeah, they do. Speaking about the bottom of the table, I feel worried for Morecambe. I think they're going to struggle big time this season. I saw them play Chester in a pre-season friendly, and the fact that they're still hanging their hat, that seems to be a phrase of the day, the fact that they're still hanging their hat on Kevin Ellison, who is without doubt a specimen and a great player, but whose best days are perhaps behind him at 39. I think the fact that I think at 5-2, they're a great price to go down.
They don't have the dosh, do they? It's going to hurt them again.
No, we say the same thing every year about Morecambe, though, don't we? Yet they seem to have, not necessarily the players, but the character to stick it out and to just about survive. They often start really well and then plummet, don't they, Morecambe? So maybe the start will tell us about their season this year. I worry about Oldham. Now, I saw Oldham at the back end of last season and they weren't at that stage any surefire thing to go down. And they were awful. They were terrible. And they've got ownership issues there. They've got a new manager again. The recruitment, I'm not sure about. Oldham feels like a club that's in a bit of a state at the moment. So yeah, they might struggle.
It's nothing like ending a show on a high. That's it from us this week then. Remember, you can get in touch with Adrian, with Sam, with Joe, and with me if you want to, at The Totally Show. Thanks for your company. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Totally Football League Show, a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com and make sure you check out our brand new podcast for this season, The Totally Scottish Football Show with Andrew Slaven.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.